Call. This cat, meeting for June 14th. We're all here, let's right at Woodendale. Got some new members here. So our inspiration is, don't hear you here. Whoever's got the inspiration always comes in late.
Yeah.
Why that happened. I think that I will let you do it, but I like that. So I can do it. Just come to your book. Yep. I like the book.
You know what my thing is, my name thing is?
Oh, did you get the email?
I was just on the way.
And it can be hard then to create connection because all I know is they need the food and they're isolated. So one of the things I do is I put a little card in, or I tell them what national day it is, whether it's bug day or cheese day or whatever. So we have something to exchange about. So today, face down, everybody. Oh, and what's the
way you get the face down?
Oh, I'm sorry, you got a blank on the other front of the bike room. Do we have any interest?
Put the face down, we'll be looking.
So when I got to the musical squad, up over there, and all of these are focused on the scenery. With the idea that we read them out aloud, but we just go around the room.
Okay.
And then at the end, you'd all have something for inspiration to say for you, and maybe you'll connect with someone today and say, you know, I heard this today or I read this today. So let's go. So let's go.
Right here.
John Lennon. People are talking.
Repeat.
Teacher. Attention, please. Or Girl Scout. Our Girl Scouts. Count your age by friend, not years. Count your life by smile, not tears. From John Lennon. Growing old is mandatory, but growing up is optional.
Laughter is timeless. Imagination has no age, and dreams are forever. Walt Disney.
Whoa. I'm sure I got this. It's important to have a twinkle in your wrinkle.
I didn't think one small enough pet.
Don't let aging get you down. It's too hard to get back up. I agree with that.
With old age comes wisdom and discounts. Old people are just young people who have been alive for a very long time.
Yeah. Seniors are brave, having been through the fire at least once in their lives.
Age is an issue of mind over matter. If you don't mind, it doesn't matter.
That's my favorite line.
The good work of wrinkled hands never gets old.
Do not regret growing older. It is a privilege denied to many.
Peace alternative.
We are always the same age inside.
The best tunes are played on the oldest fiddle.
Getting old is like climbing a mountain. You get a little out of breath, but the view is much better.
When we were small children, we all played dress up and everybody had a good time. So I stopped.
It's not how old you are, it's how you are old. Right, Jules Renard.
Aging is just another word for living. Cindy Joseph.
Wrinkles will only go where the smiles have been. Jimmy Buffet.
Anyone who keeps the ability to see beauty never grows old. Franz Kafka.
Oh, Kafka. That's deep. Age is simply the number of years the world has been in tone with you.
Long lives aren't natural. We forget that senior citizens are as much an invention as toasters or penicillin. That was
Thank you. This one's definitely for us. Senior citizens know things younger people will spend a lifetime learning.
Great idea. Yeah. Okay, that's ready for you. Thank you for your day. Good job. Okay, the Pledge of Allegiance. Carol, do we have Carol Moore here? I think they read. You can have to say something. They're witness here. Do I have a volunteer for the pledge?
Sure.
I know. Yes, I know. Oh, no, that's what you did last night. Sure, let's go with that.
Okay, everybody, stand, please. Face the flag, put your hand over your heart. Ready, begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you, Linda. Please be seated. Right. Let's get underway. Roll call by our newly minted secretary, David Kessler. David?
All right. Let's see what we have. Carolyn Ashkeyboy.
Present.
Yeah. Linda Barcelona. Laval Brewer. Let's see. Right here. Well, this is
present.
And it's going to be excused, by the way. Okay. Karen Chater.
Present.
Rolex Chantowski.
Here.
Meredith.
Present.
Elaine Genoway. Okay.
Gene Hernandez. He is here.
Ken Caitlin. We got Marilyn Klinger. Victor Mendez.
Here.
Crystal Myers.
Present.
Patty.
She's on her way.
Lily.
Noel.
Kunjan.
Yes.
Close enough.
Thank you. Johnny Nichols.
Johnny.
Rachel Collins.
Yep.
Don Pointer. Is not here.
He's I think he's coming from a heavy night.
Yeah. Okay. Jeffrey Rodriguez.
Here.
Amina San Matthews. Barbara's school.
Present.
Sandy
Stanton. Present.
David Steele.
Here.
Jake Wheeler. He's not going to be here.
And then Dave Wheeler is absent.
Correct.
That's it.
Thank you. Thank you, David. Did everybody get the forms to fill out?
No. On that, we ask you to fill two separate forms out, one for May and one for June. If you wish to do that, fine. I will. Just make sure you've got and one column, one column there. If you cannot do it now, please email it to me. And your email address is just aaslaw@aol.com.
It's really easy to just do it now.
I can't remember that part back.
Oh, put 8-8, that's all you need to know.
Okay. That is, are you sure?
I'm going to be positive.
I might be an invite to client, something like that, right?
You may have more than that, but that is.
It's a way
to quit.
Since we all need to.
Okay, anything else, Dave? No. Everybody complying on their senior service hour? Did they get to see it? Yes. Okay, public comments. Do we have any members of the public that would like to make a comment? Members of the public? Yeah. All right, sir, jump right up. Or,
my name is Stanislaw. I'm a 73-year-old senior. Right. So they're deep bikes. They're not running on my track here. If all these meetings that place it, it's urgent to your senior right here.
Well, we're actually lucky these to be posted by these folks. So we will politely ask them to see if they can get a bike rack up there. Thank you. Anybody else? All right, let's move on to introduction. We do have a couple of new members that we should be introducing here. So if this is your first meeting or second meeting, would you please kind of just state your name and a little bit about yourself? Very brief. What you do, get started, or what? Let's start. We'll go around. These are all regulars. Okay, yes, please.
All right. Good morning, everybody. My name is Ann Hertz Mallory. This is my meeting, and I am here as the mayor of the city of Cypress, and very excited to learn more about the work and to see how I can participate and support you. And all of the seniors in the county, of which I am one now. So thank you.
Thank you, Ann. Welcome. Yes, please.
My name is Li-Ling Nguyen. I'm an attorney, an estate planning attorney, and I was fortunate to meet Supervisor Chafee applying for something else. Yeah. And he said, you know, you would be really a great fit. And even though I live in a different district, I really wanted to work with him so that I applied for this position. And I'm very happy to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, sorry. I didn't think what type of attorney you are.
Estate planning?
Estate planning.
Oh, I didn't talk.
Mayor, I'm done. All right. Yes, sir.
Hi, everybody. My name is Nathan Steele. I'm city council of Seal Beach. I'm a newbie here. I'm a newbie on city council, too, by the way. I'm only 5 months in it. So a lot of this procedural stuff is strange to me. I come out of the corporate universe. I live in Leisure World, but I also have a distinguished colleague with me here today from Leisure World who will introduce herself momentarily.
Marianne?
Okay. And I'm here as the District 1 representative from the District 1. Andrew Doe comes with me. I'm glad to be here. I really am. I live in Asia World and I'm looking forward to representing them. I spent many years as a newspaper reporter and editor. Other news coming on. I'm teaching in security and leadership world football. So I'm very nosy person.
So you know what you're trying to write because this is very nosy. All right, not anyone else. Okay, looks like your real is older here. Okay. We have a presentation today by the county's master plan, or on the county's master plan for aging, older adult needs assessment. We have Katie is here. Katie,
I'll go there.
There she is. Thanks, Katie, for being here.
Thank you for having me. I'm going to try to stand over here so that I can block anyone's view. And then, too, I quickly said to block them, and I said, no, I'm going to block you. So, good morning. My name is Kate Calcota, and I'm the president of a nonprofit here in Orange County called Advanced Obesity. And we are fortunate enough to be the partners of the county to conduct the older adult needs assessment for Orange County. I have a colleague with me. She's in the back. Just to confuse you, her name is also Katie. So I'm Katie Calvota and Katie Tran. Whoever you call, either one of us, you will not be in the wrong hands. So thank you for making space and creating, ruining your agenda for us to do the presentation today. So a little bit about us. I was saying earlier, we are a nonprofit here. We serve Orange County exclusively. Our mission as an organization is to close social health disparities in Orange County. And we do that using compiling data, doing needs assessment, and things like that to help guide policy in closing social and health disparities. So we are going to be collecting data and talking about all things older adults in Orange County. So I thought I would preface our presentation with some data on older adults. As you can see here, and I think the presentation is also in your pamphlet for those of you who would like to take notes. Just generally speaking, according to the US Census Bureau in 2021, there are about 700,000 or so older adults. And older adults we define as folks who are age 60 or better in Orange County. And this is the state's definition. So this is in alignment with the state's master plan for aging. You can see here we have tracked the racial and ethnic background of those who are 60 years and older in Orange County, as well as the male and female gender breakdown as well. We show you here that the census breaks out different households by type. So you'll see those who are family household members, married family household members. We have female only. We have those who are living alone, etc. So we take in all of this data to be able to help us inform who we should be surveying and who we should be studying for their needs. In addition to, we look at marital status, how many people are widowed, how many people are divorced or separated, and then how many people are living alone. Another category that we will also include would be kinless older adults, those without family members here in Orange County. Of course, we take a look at income levels too, and the poverty status of older adults in Orange County. And more data for you here. We're looking at, grandparents or older adults who may have responsibility for grandchildren under the age of 18. We look at that population in that community, as well as, of course, our honored veterans. I see that there are a couple of veterans here today on this committee. And we want to let you know that veterans are a priority population for us.
You can perhaps repeat all that.
Sure, no problem. So we also track the veteran population among older adults here in Orange County. I saw that there are a couple of members within this council who are veterans, and I would love to speak to each of you about this. But we are planning to do focus groups and town hall, and I'll get to that later, in our priority population, specifically our veteran population. As well as disability status. So we compile data on those folks in Orange County with a disability, either a physical disability or a cognitive disability. And we also will take effort in order to survey and focus on those communities as well.
Hey, can I Yeah, so I can see that the source of this information you're using is going to be American Community Survey.
Yeah.
Are you going to do 2021?
Yeah.
Middle of COVID at this point.
Yeah.
But will you be looking at the percentage of change?
Yes.
From
the reason I'm using 2021 is because 2020 was a decennial census year, that is the year that they create a baseline for every 10 years they measure the population. 2021 is the first full year after that, so we have fresh numbers for us, but they also produce 2022 or 2023 every year we have data. So we are going to be using the most recent set of data available, as well as collecting local data. And so I will go into that in a little bit with our assessment. Thank you for that question. You must be a data person. So in Orange County, I wanted to bring this slide up to you because these are the top 10 cities in Orange County with the highest population of older adults. At the top of the list is Anaheim, and then Huntington Beach, Santa Ana, Irvine, Garden Grove. Then rounding out the second list is Fullerton, Newport Beach, Mississippi, Orange, and Westminster. And then the numbers next to it, the percentage change, that tells you the percentage change between 2015 and 2020. So it shows you how the numbers have increased and any migration that have taken place, right, between the cities. So we have some geographic markers. Of course, there are many more that are relevant to Orange County. There's even just some of them. But as you can see, we track that very closely, and we're going to be able to target those neighborhoods and cities with the highest number of older adults in our assessment.
Would you remember cell phones, please?
Yeah.
Yeah, a reminder. If you have a cell phone, please silence it.
And I'm happy to send a colored version for any of you who'd like to get a copy of this as well.
Yeah, another question on the cities. Is there a place that you could visit and see how the other cities rank that are not listed as far as the increases and how they change over the years?
Yeah, I'm happy to send that to you. Yeah, for sure. We actually, as part of our work, our body of work, we produce a population overview for the health agency, and this is part of that report that we can compile for them. So I'm happy to share that with you as well.
So if our city is not on there, does that mean that we don't have a percentage of seniors in total?
No. The percentage increase, it just didn't make it to the top 10. So I'll send that information to you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. You said that the percentage is the growth, right?
Yeah.
Do you have the percentage or in another report of that percent of the seniors in the city?
Yeah.
Yes. So instead of the number 60,000, what percentage of the population are seniors? Yes, we can get that information to you.
Okay. Yeah. Real quick. So if I read your chart, Santa Ana with the highest growth of seniors. Based on 28%,
that's right.
Yeah, so we're an aging city here.
Sorry?
We're an aging city.
Yes.
Okay.
We're an aging city, and we are an aging county.
Yes. Well, I live there, so I'm kind of...
Yeah, you're right.
You're
right. This shows for those cities that had the highest percentage growth.
No,
this city.
No, these are the top cities with older adult population in total numbers. And then I just showed you next to it the percentage change, but it's not ranked by the percentage change. It's ranked by the total number of older adults.
Okay. Yeah.
And yeah. And of course, some of these cities are just large, right? So they have a bigger number. To your point, if you can see the percentage of the total population. You can see it if you are, overrepresented, right? Your citizenship are overrepresented by older adults. Yes.
I think the key point is, if I'm wrong, but the senior population is the only percentage that has increased.
I have to look to verify that, but it is among one of those population groups growing the fastest.
Okay, I think it's the only population percentage-wise that is increasing.
Let me double check. I just don't have that fact in front of me. Yeah.
So with all this distorted by the baby boomers, right?
Yeah.
So I mean, it will ultimately wash
It will fall.
Yeah, as it flows. Yeah. Yeah.
And then we will wind up seeing what the next population group is. That becomes a larger factor. We say goodbye.
Well, because we're producing a master plan for aging, we always have older adults right. in our county. And so whatever we work on now together collectively as a community will benefit generations to come.
Yeah.
For all of your participation in this, I thank you in advance. I'm going to be approaching that age group. So thank you very much for your...
I think what John is pointing out is that the baby boomers were the largest cohort in population. And now the population numbers for the various Gen X, Gen Z, Gen Y, they're a lot smaller. So our population is fine and not growing, except for seniors, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
Jane, we've almost stored it there.
Thank you. Well, this is a lively bunch. I haven't even gotten to the assessment yet. Okay, well, I hope you are enjoying. In addition to understanding who is an older adult in Orange County, where do they live, and what are some of the demographic characteristics of this population? We want to study two big, broad areas of services, right? Healthcare and then social services. So this is a snapshot of the five of the leading causes of death for older adults in Orange County. And this is reported by the Orange County Healthcare Agency. You'll see the top cause of death is heart disease, followed by cancer, and because this is 2021, we have COVID here, but then next to that is Alzheimer's disease. I think Patty is, a member of your committee. I've spoken to her many times about that particularly, so we will have a very high focus on these conditions. Do I see a hand up?
Yes. Well, just out of curiosity, I was just thinking, how much do you think these numbers are influenced by the homeless population? Concentrated with seniors.
Yeah.
You get homeless people, drug alcohol problems, we have these death rates, but it's out of curiosity.
I don't know the answer to that, but the county just completed a survey of homeless, and thankfully we are going to be able to get some of that data. Yeah. So I'm hoping to parse that out.
Yeah, I'd like to see that. That'd be interesting.
Yes. Thank you.
Do you have a comparison to the state? How does Orange County in those areas?
Yeah, I didn't bring it today, but I feel like I have to come back. I think I have to give you guys all your most lively sign-ups, very much so. So let me come back with some of that. But that is sort of what we're doing here with the assessment, is we're gonna look at Orange County, and then we're gonna look at it compared to the state, because the state is doing its own assessment as well. And so we will have data to compare. Thank you. Yes.
The COVID, is that strictly COVID, or because there have been skewed numbers that reporting that they're
what are they related?
Just saying, no, COVID. You know,
yeah. The registry in which this data is collected, it is the doctor who determines the primary cause of death. So
this is only primary then.
Yes, so those would be primary hospital. There could be correlating other contributing factors.
So they could have the answer COVID. Right. And it could go down as COVID because they got no money for that. So it might be the test.
Well, I classify, but the parent, the doctor, whoever is, would make that call. So again, we're looking at trends on the right hand side with the leading cause of death for older adults. We want to also emphasize any behavioral health or mental health issues among our older adult population. So we have what's called psychological distress indicators that we're going to be tracking as well for older adults. This is particularly important because it is a growing issue, and what we've heard from stakeholders and community members is this is an area of great concern for folks. And so we're going to do a deeper dive into this particular issue as well.
And real quick, I've been asked to request to go over our questions to have a presentation. I'm going to work violators, but we'll hold off on that. Thank you.
Yeah, that was great. Thank you. And then I'm going to stay too. So feel free to like corner me with all of your very, very thought-provoking questions. So you see here, I mentioned earlier about the rate of increase of Alzheimer's disease leading deaths for older adults. We have tracking here the rate for California and then for Orange County, as well as our neighboring counties as next to us too. All right, so now we're gonna talk about the master plan for aging. On the screen, you'll see that California has produced a master plan for aging. They have five pillars as part of that plan, and that's what I have shown you here on the right-hand side, or left-hand side if you're looking at the screen. So it's housing for all ages and stages. That is principle number one, pillar number one. Pillar number two is health reimagined. Pillar number three is inclusion and equity, not isolation. Pillar number four is caregiving that works. And then pillar number five is affording aging. And so those are the five pillars of California's master plan for aging.
Great.
Next to those pillars are strategies, specific strategies that they want to zero in on correlating to those pillars. So for example, if we look at housing, it's not just housing, but we're talking about transportation. We're talking about community spaces, right, for older adults. If you look at health, we're not just talking about delivery of care or service of care. We're talking about the focus on nursing home innovation, aging in place. How do we focus on prevention as well? And then when we go down to caregiving, that's a huge component in our assessment. Because as we all know, we are probably caring for someone right now. All of us in this room is probably caring for someone. And that often goes sort of unspoken. It's often a personal burden that we don't talk about, we don't share with others. And if we do that, we need to learn about how we can do that to give the support services that caregivers need, as well as being able to communicate resources to the community, right? Understand what is available to you. And what kind of support you may need now, you may need in the future. So that's an important part of our assessment is the caregiving component. And then on the left, on this side, on the your right-hand side is our flyer. If you would like, you can scan that QR code. It takes you to our website that talks about this entire assessment. So you get all of the information that I'm presenting to you today, as well as how to get in touch with me. And Katie as well. So that will give you a direct link to us. And if you have any questions or ways in which you have ideas that we can, Patty, I think you're over here. That's all your name. you can get in touch with us and any ideas you may have, any ways of engagement, we welcome them all.
Yeah.
Okay, so a little bit about the assessment team and then we're gonna go into the assessment itself. So I am the project manager for this assessment. I have over 20 years of experience doing research and data analysis. In fact, I did that in my private career. And then I've since stopped working and I do this pro bono. So I basically do this through Advance OC just for the benefit of the community. I have my team, though, you'll see that we have two PhDs who are on this assessment team. They are both older adults. Dr. Dorman, the first one, is a longtime researcher who's well published, but he's 80 years old. So we strongly believe in doing the assessment, nothing about us without us. So we strongly believe in that concept. And so we have members of our team who are who have experience benefiting from aging journey. And then we have many other folks who have many more degrees than I do. And we also have a lot of support from UCI and USC as well in partnership with their public health screening. Okay, so let's talk about the assessment and what are some of the components of the assessment. So the first part of the assessment are a series of stakeholder interviews. So we will interview a number of different stakeholders in the community representing different groups, right, and representing different parts of the aging process. So, for example, we talked to lawyers,
who encounter clients that have not have issues around guardianship or other things, conservatorship. We talk to a postdoctor, we talk to geriatrician, we talk to a number of people who provide transportation for our older adult population. So it's a conglomeration of everyone who serves the older adult population. The state assessment interviewed 80 people for the entire state of California. We interviewed 80 people just for the county of Orange. So we are trying to leave no stone unturned in our assessment. So the next part are the surveys. We have a community survey and a provider survey. The provider survey is happening right now. So we would like you, if you are a provider, if you're a paid provider, meaning you work in servicing older adults, and you get paid by either a private company or the county government or somebody like that, we would like you to take the provider survey. And it is to get the input of all of those of you who are on the front lines of serving older adults. But later on, we are going to have a wide community survey. And this is where we would like to recruit your help. We want this to be very, very well taken. We want respondents from all across Orange County, including unincorporated areas who may not have an infrastructure to support, you know, the dissemination of information and things like that. But we would like to be able to partner with you to get the survey out into your communities. It's very, very important. And as an added incentive, if your cities knock it out of the park and you get tons and tons of people to take the survey, I can give you the data for your city, okay? So then you know specifically for your city how they responded. So the community survey, I'm gonna go into a little bit more, but then we have focus groups and town halls. So we have, all of us know, we have these populations that are hard to count, that are hard to reach. Our unhoused homeless population, our veteran population. I've sat in many different settings with veterans who say, no, I don't trust the government. So I'm not gonna take your survey. But we've sat in rooms with them and we've talked to them and reached out to them. And now they've come to us and said, okay, we will host a town hall with you so that our veterans can take the survey. Right? So we are responsible of doing all of that research and building that trust in the community so that they will respond to this assessment. So the focus groups will be for those harder to reach populations, hard to count populations, we know who they are. We're gonna do a very, very targeted outreach for those priority populations. And then we're gonna do town halls. So in tandem with the community survey, we're gonna host about 20 different town halls all across the county. There's one coming to a city near you, if not in your particular city. If you are so inclined, I would love and invite you to come and talk to us about hosting it in your city. We will also bring resources to this town hall so that the seniors who come will not only take the survey, but will also have access and connections to resources. So we'll bring the resources and have tables available at these town halls for your seniors. So that's the assessment process. I'm gonna go and talk a little bit about timeline with you. So we kicked off this assessment on March 29, 2023. A lot of you attended our kickoff. We also have a recording of that if you would like to watch it. And then as you see, we just completed our stakeholder interviews that took place in April and May. And so now we just launched the provider survey that will go on until the end of August. At the same time, close to the same time, we're gonna be doing these small focus groups. Remember I mentioned those hard to reach populations. We're gonna do those populations in focus groups. And then in beginning of September, we are going to be launching the community survey. We're gonna have a campaign with the community survey. And we're going to want to reach out to all of you to be in your newsletters, to be in your email distribution list, telling folks about the survey, and hopefully coming to a town hall and sharing space with all of your residents. And then I also want to mention one quick thing, which is the caregiver survey. Remember when I said that a lot of us don't even think of ourselves as a caregiver.
right? I mean, I took care of both my parents. They moved in with me in their later days. And I never thought that I was a caregiver, even though I was performing all those functions. I go and buy groceries for my neighbor, Betty, who's 80 years old. I'm her caregiver. And I may not think of it that way, but I am her caregiver. So many times we think about what we're doing just because we're good people, we're good neighbors, we're good friends, but we are caregivers. And we need to understand all of that in the context of an aging or dependent, right? Okay, and then the town halls you see there, as soon as we solidify dates and locations, and of course, outreach to all of you today, if you are interested in hosting a town hall, once we have that nailed down, we will publish it and we will let you know in advance. So you can help us coordinate that. Of course, we're gonna do one in Seal Beach in Leisure World, my people there, yes. We're gonna do one there. We're gonna do one in Laguna Woods as well, of course. But there are all kinds of different locations and you know, places where seniors are living that we need to go to as well. So I want you to feel free to let us know and make those recommendations. We're going to do a little bit of focus grouping at the end, just in case we encounter some issues in our community survey that we haven't thought through. And if we haven't thought through and another new issue arises, we can do a small focus group on that just as a follow-up so that our assessment is as comprehensive as possible. And then we're going to have a final report. I would love to come back and share that report with all of you in person. Maybe I'll see you a couple times before then, but definitely at the end, we'll come back and report back to all of you on what's going on. So how are we going to partner with you? This is our ask of all of you today, and those community town hall or resource fairs. It's not a bright session. It's not meant to be a bright session. So we don't want to host an event just for people to tell us, you know, what are some of the issues. We want them to come, take the survey. We want to provide some education on certain topics that are relevant to your constituents. And then we want to offer a resource fair and connect them to services. We're going to try to do it Tuesdays and Thursdays because we've gotten feedback from a lot of folks that those are the best days. We're going to host them from September to November. But meanwhile, we're not going to go away. We're also going to come back for those famous senior, holiday luncheons. You know, we're going to come to those as well. We hope to do at least four town halls in every supervisory district. So that's a total of 20 town halls. And then, we're targeting about, 100 to 250 people at these town halls. So really need your help to get the word out. We're also happy to come to any meet and greet events that you guys have. Some folks have come up to us and said, we're doing a senior summit. We're doing, whatever event it is, we're happy to be there and have a table. Also, if your senior center is hosting some kind of event or even an education event, we would love to come and present or just come and mingle and tell them about the survey. We also would love to be in your local flyers, posted in your senior centers. We want to be in your newsletters. And then, of course, if you have social media, we know that our seniors love Facebook, and we know that our seniors love YouTube. So those are the two channels we're going to be focusing in on, but we're going to have content that we would love for you to share. And, that's it for me. Now I'm going to I feel like I'm gonna be peppered with some questions, so I'm gonna get ready.
Yeah. Okay. So on these town halls, how are you gonna address the language issues associated with specific communities, or specific communities, mainly Spanish, Vietnamese?
Yeah, thank you for that. So we have staff members who speak the language. We're also partnering with 1OC. They have a program where they have volunteers that will come. So we will staff them with capacity.
Okay. Well, are you finished with your presentation?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, yes, you have a question, Steve.
Oh, okay. Andrew.
Yes.
No, Mary, I am.
We'll staff it with folks that have language capacity. In addition, we also have a phone number. So for people who can't come to the town hall,
yes,
because of mobility issues or other
things, yes,
they can call us. We will have someone able to proctor the survey over the phone. We can do that in language as well.
Good. Well, my other question is to help you, because I know people is will the instruments be in Vietnamese or Spanish? The actual document?
We have seven languages.
In the actual survey instrument.
Yeah. Have.
Great.
Yeah, seven. Thank you. Seven. Yes, go ahead.
Hi, so I don't have to create content. Will you be able to send us something that then we can print out at home and put up at our senior citizen center?
And when? We have a partnership with a communications company that will produce a lot of the content for us, and then we're going to get them available, widely available to all of you. We will also print them, so you don't have to print them yourself. We can deliver them to you, so you can host them where you can feel.
We can deliver to these meetings, though.
Yeah, well, perfect. Yeah, so I'll definitely take that then.
And my second comment was your comment that we are all caregivers. Thank you. I think that was more inspirational than my inspirational talk. I think that will be touches on why we're all here. So thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
John, you have a question?
I'll ask you for him with that, and then we'll go here.
Thank you. All right. So I'm an elected in the city of Villa Park, which is a very small city, but I have a very high proportion of the old elected.
Yes.
So I would love to host a town hall, but my question, and don't take this wrong, is what's the incentive to get them to come?
Yeah. No, that's it is hard. It is a challenge to get them to come. We're gonna try to pick up, we're gonna try to have food, we're gonna try to have resources, talk to you about what is a possible incentive for your folks.
There is something else
that'd be different.
That's my experience. We host a lot of town halls, and unless it's gonna affect their pocketbook, then they just watch it on TV. So I'd like to be able to get as many people there. Also, we're very close to the incorporated portion of Orange and one part of the system. So I'll give you my card after. Yeah. I'm about to be able, we're
brainstorming,
but we do have a high percentage of older adults, and I think you did a lot of work to do that.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, and we've been reached out by, for example, Rockmore, who's unincorporated, and they wanted to come to the homeowner association meeting. So that's a good way too. They're there for a different reason.
Yeah.
But then we can talk about it, right? So we just need to brainstorm about what we think might work best.
Well, maybe you come to a city council meeting during public comment to a really brief thing of that. That might.
Yeah.
Hey, John and Rachel.
Katie, I'm not sure. Would you clarify for me, what do we get after the town hall? Well, what's the, is there a product that comes out of that we share with people, or is that just data gathering on your part?
Yeah, it is data gathering. However, when we create the town halls, we will have the resource fair component. So if you're hosting us as a town hall, we'll sit and talk to you about, what exactly, might be a side benefit to having all of these people in the room there. Could be giving them information about the program that you're launching or something else. So we'll be in conversation with you about that. Everything will be, every town hall will be customized for that reason.
Because I was... At the front table here, there's a number of people that are involved with the city council. So I would think that the footprint of their city would be huge in terms of what kind of senior population that exists there in their in their particular city limits, and what kind of services they need. Because it's going to vary depending on what city you're in, I believe.
Absolutely. So for each of those town halls, we will talk to the cities. We will also talk to the nonprofits that serve within those cities. So it's going to be hyper-localized to whatever, wherever we are.
Because the number of town halls is limited by the supervisorial district, is there any thought given to maybe a broader umbrella in terms of, maybe you could cluster several?
You can go to anyone that fits your calendar. You don't have to go to the one that's in your supervisory system. And we just do it that way to make sure that the county is covered. You can go to anyone that you'd like. We would gather the data for the county. Yes.
So a couple of things. First one that comes to mind to go on to build on what John just said. We have 34 cities. Why are we not targeting all 34 cities individually in some manner or another, or a couple who might be smaller together?
Yes.
That's one. Yes. What is your goal for the number of people who provide this input. City of Irvine, I serve on the senior council. We just did a survey because we're working on a 5-year strategic plan that has to be presented by September of this year for the next 5 years. And you're about to give us information that might completely change what our focus is. And it's very frustrating to think about money that went into here, the planning and time that's going into proposing, and then maybe we're in the wrong place totally because we have this small little, so we only got 700 responses for the city of Irvine, and I can't remember how many
you have. 300,000 people.
We have 300,000
people.
Yeah,
people. Yeah,
quite
a small sample.
It is. So, what's the size of sample that
we're
looking to get?
To right. Well, what we shoot for is a statistically significant sample,
which is 3%, 5%,
10%. No, it's actually right around 5,000 people, but we'd like to have more. We'd like to have more. The goal is not to stop there. The goal is to have more. So statistically significant number for the county is 5,000, but we would like to get as many as we can, right? We did during COVID, we did a community survey, and there was a vaccine hesitancy survey, and there was 20,000 people who responded to that. We'd like to get that number again. We don't know if we can do that, but we hope we can do that with all of your help. Right. And so that's why we're doing these presentations, and that's why we're trying to engage the folks that did your survey. They actually reached out to us.
Good. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah. And so I said, well, hold off. Could you hold off? And they said, we can't because this is a city mandated thing. So, yeah, we tried to coordinate the best we can. And I'm so sorry if I could give you, different information. But hopefully that will, we have some service to the city of Irvine.
Yeah.
And to your point about smaller cities, we do recognize that we need to have a footprint in every city. However, I live in Woodland Hills, for example. It would be quite easy for me to go to a town hall in Laguna Woods, right? And so it's more important, I think, for us to host it in Laguna Woods and then have Laguna Hills residents, go there versus the other way around. So we're trying to be cognizant of that and be very inclusive of all of these smaller cities and unincorporated areas. And so we've already done that outreach, like I said, to Rossmore and then to Ladera Ranch and Puerto de Casa, which we know we have an older adult population there too. So it's all part of this massive coordination campaign that we have.
Yeah, I would just say that it's very difficult having tried to do a number of town hall meetings. You always get a very poor turnout in the community unless their hair's on fire over an issue. That's rare. So it's difficult to get them there. It's best if you can actually be smaller and where they're going to be anyway, like a council meeting or a senior center board meeting, that type of thing, where it's a captured audience. It certainly gets you your votes. We'll do a town hall meeting that you're requesting, but I don't see us getting a whole lot of people there.
Well, we'll do both. It's not an either or, we can do both. So we'll do the smaller events, the meet and greets, and all the smaller events.
Maybe we'll have better luck with their town hall meetings.
I usually have a topic, a main topic, like introducing somebody. But what I do is I put in, I don't call it a hot button issue, but an issue of interest. For example, jobs are big where I live. So I say, well, are you interested in a job? Come hear this person speak about opportunity for older Americans. They'll be there for you. So I always put kind of hey, you heard about that rent increase, we'll have, so I always try to like a little bit of a tease in there. So I don't know what that tease would be for.
Yeah, we have
affordable housing. That's what I live in too. I got senior affordable housing where I live at the BR.
Yeah.
And so, but things like that.
I also want to tell you that.
Loud in your neighborhood, sure.
We're talking to faith-based organizations. So for example, one example is the Diocese of Orange. We just got off the phone with them planning this. They're going to put us in their newsletter. We're going to go into the bulletins. We're going to go at the mass.
That's good.
Right. We're going to be there at services and talk to your constituents. So it's a big program with a lot of different moving parts.
Well, I know St. Nick works really well.
Yes.
And that'd be a great place for you to do.
Yes.
I know that church
for a long time.
Yeah, and they're going to put, we're gonna go to a deanery. I don't know if you know the specifics of that. We're going to go to a deanery where all of them come and congregate, and we're going to tell all the various different pastors across the 60
different countries. That's great.
Yeah, and they're
going to talk about it. I like that.
Yeah,
yeah. There's a
as well
as people, 80,000 people.
Yeah.
Hey, that's my family was the whole 100,000 people. And living life.
Right? Yes, that
yeah,
is true. Because
you leave it next week.
Scheduled new things for some of the AME congregations.
Yeah.
And there are like 7 or 8 of them, but they're big churches.
Yeah.
So we can probably connect.
Thank you. And Saddleback, the Peace Center at Saddleback, there's so many large areas where we can go to them and not have them come to us. But the town halls is hopefully a catch all for all folks that are not affiliated with all these other organizations.
So, are you thinking through healthcare providers as well?
Well, that's why we're doing the provider survey first. We did the provider survey so that they know about this effort, and then we're going to come back to the same providers that completed the survey that we did outreach to and ask them to push it into their, you know, their patients and their clients and those that they serve. So
it's like a really comprehensive outreach. I congratulate you on the breadth of this plan, and you've got a lot of amazing people in the room that can help you push it all out. So look forward to partnering.
Well, thank you. I'm talking paper, online, bringing iPads or whatever to these town hall meetings and doing sort of live and in person.
Yeah,
with folks.
Yeah. Yeah, we have all modalities available. So paper in 7 different languages. We have online that people can take on their own smartphone. We will have proctors at all of these town halls, people that can sit next to the older adult and help them complete the survey, however they feel comfortable, right? We have a telephone number. If people don't are homebound, they can't access it elsewhere. They can call in and we can have someone speak in their language and give them the survey over the phone.
So we could have something delivered to our Meals on Wheels.
Yes. So one of our director of operations used to run Meals on Wheels. So we're definitely going to try to reach them through the meal delivery programs for sure.
Okay, and Anna, burning question. Yes, Nathan.
Okay. Question is, you're doing an assessment, and I think we're all interested in shortening the distance between the need and the services and the resources available to
yes.
need. And awareness on their part, but at the end of an assessment, what happens to it?
Yeah.
You hand this off to the office of aging, you hand it off to, or does it just go off to the ether somewhere?
Oh, no. I think you talk about it. Yeah. Yeah, I'll answer that. So what happens? What is the next, right? The next set of actions. So what we're hoping collectively as the county, as we know, Office on Aging is not the answers and all in all to address aging and programming and where do we go from here, right? What is our strategic plan based on this master plan for aging? So we are collaborating with all other agencies in our county that provide a touch for right programming for you know, older adults and individuals with disabilities. So what we hope to achieve is based on what we learned, based on what our community is saying is our needs, that we developed a local, a master plan of aging and aligning with the state. What is it here locally that we need? What type of programs can we align? What kind of initiatives do we need to focus on? What is our ultimate goal to be able to meet some of those and address some of those needs and or gaps that our residents you know, report in what we find in this assessment? So ultimately, we definitely want to see it as a guide so our county can then further focus on what direction, right, do we need to go so that we can continue to address as our population increases. So it really will serve as that, you know, hey, instead of, can we do this program here? This will give us, well, no, don't focus on this program because maybe we found that the biggest need, you know, is a particular service. So at least it will give us some direction. Also, how to
really bring all services that are happening throughout the county through other agencies, and how do we collectively bring those and connect them to our older adults and individuals with disability. Office on Aging, as we do have, we all know, a lot of services geared towards older adults. We have county entities and agencies that also have programming for our older adults, caregivers, individuals with disabilities, that we want to make sure that we access that, you know, that we bring that forth. And we also aid them in the assessment and what we find in our lessons learned, that we will also try to get those programmings and kind of funnel them through this vision and what that needs to look like for our county.
Katie is going to be around, so we have we could spend all day on this. So Katie, just all those questions, we might get with her afterwards.
Yeah,
because we do have a general duty. But thank you, Katie. Thank you for your city and doing a town hall. That would be great.
Yeah.
Okay, we have the city. Old business. Do we have a status on the bylaws by any chance?
Yes.
Okay, you're going to cover that in your report.
Yes.
Okay. And how about any supervisor feedback? We've been waiting to get some feedback from supervisors so that Meredith and I can start setting one-on-one appointments. Have we heard anything from that at all?
I'll keep an update on that.
Okay. And then I'm going to hold off on the Senior Center meeting update, because I assume you're going to cover that, Patty. All right, then let's go with the Office on Aging updates. Bobby, you already kind of jumped into that. Do you have more you want to say?
Yes, I do actually want to bring some attention to the council in terms of all the survey that is happening out the state and, of course, here locally and what it impacts. So if you hear different acronyms, if you hear different surveying happening, what does that mean and where does it come from? So thank you so much, first of all, Katie, for your wonderful presentation, your engagement, and I really do encourage you all to engage, to participate, to look at opportunities where you may be able to partner and host a town hall and encourage. And even as you're going through your communities and touching, you know, the lives of your friends and family, that you also inform them and point them in the direction of our survey in our town hall so that we can also hear from them and get their voice, right? So I want to thank you for that. That is definitely the local master plan on aging. So we'll see a lot happening, a lot more marketing materials so that we can spread the word. So that is one. The other assessment that is happening right now is at the state level. So California Department on Aging, and for those of you that are joining us for the first time, many of our programs here, your Office on Aging, our grants are funneled and passed through the Department of, California Departments of Aging, along with some federal level grants. But the bulk, we're locally administering directly from California Department of Aging. They are currently conducting an assessment as well. So I'm letting you know because this survey is called the Community Assessment Survey for Older Adults, and it's specifically a vendor. Holco, thank you. Holco is also conducting their assessment, but they are targeting individuals who have access and or have somehow linked to programs and services through the aging network. So of course, you know, they will be sending mailers. They're currently in the week, this week actually, they are sending mailers to older adults, individuals and caregivers that have somehow linked through our aging system. And they will be sending these out to encourage individuals to participate in that needs assessment. And part of that whole focus is also at the state level to help and kind of drive some of these programmings, you know, advocacy and things that they want to be able to funnel down and focus, you know, at the state level. And then eventually, how does that trickle down to us? So we'll have it. Okay. Go ahead.
On the whole coast assessment that's coming out.
I'm sorry.
Whole coast. P-O-L-C-O. The acronym for the Community Living what is it called?
A community assessment. You'll see or hear it referred to as the CASFOA, C-A-S-O-A. That's coming out soon. But what this will do, we're very fortunate in Orange County because we have two assessments that are going to be running. We're going to have our one that we're doing here, and then we're going to have the POLCO assessment. So in terms of our area plan for aging, which is getting updated, we're going to do a new one that's coming up in 24 to 28. We have been told by the state that this CASOA survey will satisfy the need for us to do a separate needs assessment. So we are very, very fortunate in that what we don't capture in our survey, we can capture in theirs or vice versa. So that's important.
Thank you, Pauline. Oh, go ahead. Will the area plan for aging be different from the master plan for aging implementation in Orange County?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the really what we ultimately would have liked to see is to really align those in terms of our timelines. But because the area plans are tied to older American Act regulations, there's certain time frames where these have to be completed. So we're going to be needing to complete ours right around the time that our local master plan on aging assessment is being completed. And hopefully, you know, once that CASOA, the state level assessment needs is also being completed. So we're hoping definitely to align on that. But however, we may not be able to put everything in place. However, on a yearly basis, we also update these plans. So as we update and as things shift or focuses shift, that is an opportunity for us to also update them within that, those, you know, each year, 4-year cycle.
Are these quick surveys or are they?
I have not done, I can tell you in terms of the local master plan on aging, because they're focus on different targeted groups. They might be variants in length.
This kind of a question then.
The provider survey might be a different length than maybe an individual or a town hall. The CASOA one, a few minutes, have they said, Pauline, how long does that
should
take?
Be 15 minutes.
15 minute survey. So they are coming along. So
yeah, please. That's usually the term for me.
Yes.
How long it is.
How long?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, question.
Yeah, so part of the, you know, I'm a newbie here, so I'm just going to ask just for a little more clarity for me, because I'm really trying to understand. So the goal is to collect data through these assessments to create plans. There are two assessment tools, one that's local, one that's state, and there are also two plans, an area plan for aging and the master plan.
Correct.
So what is the, I understand the difference in the surveys because they're being administered, you know, for different purposes, right? Can you clarify to me the difference between an area plan and a master plan?
Okay. And the area plan is very specific to Office on Aging, Older American Act regulated programs. Which I will talk and give you an update on what is the Older American Act too, because lots of happening on that end. So that is specific to our Title III, specific to aging services, and there is a cluster of aging programs that fall under the Older American Act. And so those are considered under that area plan and is a requirement. It is a federal, therefore state, therefore now local requirement that comes down to us that we must complete. The master plan is a state initiative.
For 10 years.
So thank you. So the master plan is at the state level. It is really the state's recognition and awareness that as our aging population is increasing, that we gotta do something, and what do we need to do to align ourselves to make sure that services are provided, that we are focusing on what the needs are, not just at the state level, but now for us here locally, and what does that look like, right? So hopefully that will help us align some of those programs and initiatives.
Let me make sure I'm understanding. So the area plan funding is deliverable related to grant funded programs.
Correct.
To that impact.
Correct.
Okay, specific to those. And then our participation in the survey that we're doing, as well as the state survey, data from both of those surveys feeds up into the state master plan.
Correct.
Got it.
Okay. Public and private services.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's also encompassing what might help a little bit. The master plan for aging is all encompassing of the various agencies that provide services to older adults within the county. So we've got the healthcare agency, we've got social services, we've got the Office on Aging. The area plan for aging, as the body said, it's sticking only to the Office on Aging.
Good point.
Thank you for clarifying. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. And that is an actually quick transition. I know, Jean, you're going to have to give me 2 more minutes. Because lots of important things are happening right now. And as you see it, as you hear it, you know, I don't want to go in the back of the head to go, oh my God, we're. The other thing that governs the area plan and a lot of our aging programs, specifically on the grants that we get at the federal state level and then passed down to Office on Aging here locally, is the federal administration. So at the federal level, we have the Administration for Community Living. They govern all the proposals and rulemaking specific to the Older American Act. The Older American Act began back in 1988, and since its inception, it has not been updated in terms of regulations and the rulings and what kind of governs and drives grants and programs under those clusters of funding. So currently, the regulation is up for an update. There's new proposed rules and regulations for the Older American Act. And the public comment section of that phase is currently open. The public comment closes August 15th. What does that mean for us individually, for you as individual members of the county and residents? You're more than welcome to individually provide a comment on that proposal. However, collectively, as a body of staff, we have reached out to our county legislative body so that they can give us a specific directive on how we're able to, if we would like to collectively, as an advisory council, provide that comment.
And we're talking about that at our next executive council.
Yes. And what does that mean for Office on Aging? We too are participating. We are members of the, most of you know it as C4A, which is the California Association of Area Agencies on Aging. They have a legislative committee coming together right now because the deadline's pretty tight and fast approaching. So they are collectively meeting with all our area agency on aging, which we will be participating in so that we can provide comments and as a larger body, as an association, be able to provide public comments. So we're working on that.
Can you share their draft letter with us before it?
I will definitely ask. Today, actually, is their first committee meeting, trying to put their heads together on
how to sign on.
Yeah, so that we can provide that feedback. So just wanted to put it out there because it's a lot. So if you see mail, letters, emails, updates, Pauline tries to share as much as possible. Of course, we want to make sure you know and are aware. But I wanted to put that out there because it is a lot happening and almost, you know, at the same time. So
is there an attempt by to try to coordinate all these efforts by all these agencies and simplify it?
That's what the C4A is trying to do in terms of all yes. The area agencies, the 58 of them throughout California. What they're trying to do is have collate all comments and put it in one so we're more unified.
I've heard that grab and go is a main issue.
I'm sorry?
I've heard that grab and go is like a main issue that people want to comment on.
Oh. Yeah, well, the three areas that have been reviewing the regulations are Title 3, Title 6, and Title 7.
So these are our aging clusters of services from nutrition to supportive services, legal services, family caregiver services, and definitely for those of you who are new and want to know, definitely please reach out. We'd be more than happy to schedule some time to provide you a little bit more information on our Office on Aging and programming and how it all kind of comes
together. That point that you guys did at the beginning. Of
yes,
the
yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, we
yes.
Got that presentation at the end of the year for new folks.
Yes.
You definitely want to get a hold of that.
Yes,
it's
that would be
very, very
we can definitely share that. Yeah.
What you heard just can get very good.
Thank you.
Yeah.
if you're hearing it for the first time, right?
We'll see
your
little
The next step,
yes.
When you send it out to all of us,
yes.
Because now as you're talking about it, I think it'll be good how those of us who
so like resource, yeah.
Pauline is on top of that because anytime anyone makes a present, everybody.
Yeah, and that's another thing too that we wanted to talk about as well in terms of request for information that's coming from this committee. So we'll talk about it with the executive committee meeting when that comes up.
Okay. And then two quick updates in terms of bylaws. Our county council has returned. There were just some questions and things, clarifications. Some of them are very minor in just terms of word usage and or processes. So we're taking a look at that. Paulina and I already took a look, but we also have some additional questions for county council to help us clarify. And then that way we can get that to you all here before, oh my gosh, definitely before the end of this month. It is, I believe, now with me so that I can follow up with our county council, see if we've gotten some
okay. Our bylaws committee like has a social hour planned after this.
The last update that I have in terms of the supervisor feedback on the goals and objectives of the advisory council, I have reached out. I am pending. The person that was following up with me was out of the office for a little bit, so now they are back this week. So I'm going to be reaching back out to see if we've been able to coordinate all the feedback that we need from our supervisor.
Well, I know it's the campaign time. And the chair is running, so he'll probably be distracted. We don't really jump on this.
It's important. I already spoke with Sarmiento's office, and they are online for both, and they just look forward to more.
Yeah, so now it's just really hearing back from the rest, and I'll making sure that I receive that update and provide that.
Sure,
that's
awful.
That's right. And that is all.
No, you're kidding. You're sure.
I'm laughing.
Thank you, Clyde. That was very informative. Okay, standing committee reports. Ms. Coleman.
All right, Don, can you give us an update, Lee?
Let's see, in June we were off.
Yeah. Been a while.
Good update.
Been a little while. We are meeting this Monday, and we will be, for the first time in 30 days, and we're going to be talking about senior citizen engagement a little bit in terms of, I mean, to throw you off, I'll leave you. This is scripted. So we're talking a little bit about what will senior citizen engagement entail. So as a result of today's presentation, I think some of that involves senior citizen engagement. So the wheels are turning there a little bit. Same thing with regards to our senior citizen day that we had previously, where we came together as a body, wanted to bring that into the loop as an ongoing agenda item. So it's those kinds of things. And then with Claudia's remarks about the Ledge Committee, trying to see how that C4A ties in and where the CFL piece is and where the county piece is, just to have some discussion to try and further define what's that going to look like in the coming year. So that's what we hope to do in an hour or hour and a half. So,
John, at H&T yesterday, our subcommittee with Crystal, we went over a number of legislative that have passed that affect seniors. I'm sorry.
Yesterday, aside from welcoming a new member and a new prospective member back, and hopefully she continues forward, we had a robust discussion also after lefting, kind of really back to what our role is and how we can submit information and how we can tie in different councils or city managers, et cetera, to try and get this information out. And then, yes, there's 12 bills that I've asked Pauline in the office to kind of dive in on and see how that's going to impact us as a subcommittee or the whole overall committee as it relates to the policies and services that we
And it's the dovetail that we read the law that's passed, but there was no analysis or interpretation of what are the impacts, what does this really mean? You know, some things sound a little good, but the reality is there's a little catch to it, or there's a different interpretation that we didn't anticipate. So it'd be nice if we can get that kind of all in together.
And those 12 goals that were specific to either housing or caregiving, or and also to that individual lives, because you know, when they're home or in their house and they have to do that telehealth.
Those 12 bills are still making their way through.
No, they're January, so they're passed. But how is it going to
go after that? So,
Rachel.
Rachel, so in May we had a presentation on elder law from the Elder Law Rights and Disabilities organization, and again quite informative of what they do to help folks who need assistance and don't have it. The Elder Rights and Disability nonprofit helps older adults and disabled folks at a discounted legal rate for services that involves conservatorship and access to services. So, and then like the other committees, we were dark in June. I'm having an and our meeting next week is a presentation from Silver Sneakers. And I don't know if all of you know just how many services are out there and the support that comes from Silver Sneakers, which is now offered by all but two of the national and California insurance companies, who then to have gone to their own version of Silver Sneakers. So that's what we're going to do in this. When we come to our meeting,
I just want to say, it's up to be doing good work. And everyone here is you're eligible to attend the meeting if you have time. So please do. They meet at the which is on Grand. Was that 30 South Grand? Walk right in and snap and enjoy.
And thank you for your work. Yeah, and ours is at 1 o'clock on next Wednesday.
On the last page of your agenda, you'll see.
That's right.
And there
it is.
Oh,
that's
about it.
Oh, Johnny's brought
my. He did.
I'll bring what is left over that I brought today. Hey, guys, I'm going to I'm sure there are
sheets left over.
So I got enough preservatives there and something else.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to the Senior Center Liaison Update. Patty and Colette, and again, this is Patty, we're really anxious to find out what's happening
here. Oh, yeah, I'm really excited. And Colette and I are going to meet soon. We have had interns revamping the list because the list was really way out of date. So that is essentially completed, and it's going to be very pristine. That's really exciting. So I'm thinking, and Katie, I don't want to surprise you about this, but couldn't we approach all the senior centers together and then figure out strategically where are the best places to have some of these town halls? Because previously, the senior center directors were invited to monthly or quarterly meetings, and it kind of fell off during COVID and it hasn't gained steam yet. So we will resurrect that activity, and probably it will be a quarterly in-person meeting, but we could start it in September, introduce the town halls, and then, you know, be poised to do this strategically. So I'm really excited about that.
Yeah.
I have two things to report that are new activities at senior centers that that my agency has kind of driven. At Yorba Belinda, there's now a monthly support group for caregivers and people with dementia that anyone is welcome to go to. And then at Sea Country, we will have a four-part series in September on older adult issues to coincide with recognizing the month. And it'll be a variety of topics like safely aging in place, the continuum of care definitions and who pays for it. We have a doctor from one of the big research firms coming to talk about dementia and new research. And there's one other, and I, right at the moment, I can't remember. Oh, a brain boosters, you know, how to sharpen your mind presentation. So that's the kind of thing I would look to repeat with broadly diverse categories of presentations throughout the county. So things are percolating. Awesome. And I'm sure once Colette and I really brainstorm, we're gonna do even more.
Thank you. Speaking of excellent presentation schedule, Sandy and Margaret.
Andy, how soon are we going to find out which our centers were responsible for?
Is that my responsibility to assign everyone? Okay, very soon. I do. And you know what? That actually begs the question, because previously our senior center assignments had nothing to do with our geography or areas of interest.
No.
And so if it's okay, can I just figure out where people live and are active and try and keep them in their geography?
You can, but recognize that there are 34 cities, and not every city has just one senior center. They have several.
Right.
So you may be crossing boundaries, you know, okay, in those assignments. So yes, whatever is the most efficient and logical way to do it.
A little common sense. Okay.
Exactly.
Can we send petitions? Well, here's what I would like. Is since I don't know every single one of you really well, and I don't know which geography you're in, if you wouldn't mind emailing me where you live and what your preferences are, and then we will do our best to accommodate those preferences. So,
Dan,
yes,
you, Elaine, and I live in Laguna Niguel.
Yeah, so we'd have to kind of
right. I will take a different city. And I'll probably assign.
Basically,
I'm going to have to flip a coin, and I'll give you guys city or senior centers that are at least nearby.
Same with the AO, I think.
Well, probably.
Yeah.
I'm going to do my best to make it
yeah.
make sense. And if you have objections, just send me an email, and we'll do our best.
The other part of the process for the past is then that changes with the senior center. We report that.
Yes, that's really important. Yes. If you get that information, to let me know. And the other thing is, if we start with quarterly in-person meetings of the senior center directors, and we make it worthwhile for them to come,
we're going to have momentum.
Exactly. And we're going to know when there's change.
Yes.
They were, are you changing it? Because they were bi-monthly. So is the schedule changing?
Well, I wasn't in charge of them previously. So I'm thinking quarterly might be enough, as long as we had regular communications with them. And if we introduce their SCAC representative to them, because I think there was a disconnect historically that the senior center had no idea that SCAC had representatives that were responsible for the connection to their senior center. So I think, you know, I'm open to an ad hoc group to brainstorm and come up with some best practices for this, because I may not have every single idea. My brain is not that big. And I would welcome. So is that all, also legal to form an ad hoc committee on senior center activity?
We sure can do that.
Okay, because that then would cut down on the dissatisfaction of this body with their assignments. If we came up with kind of a formula, and I don't want to make those decisions in a vacuum.
We have banished dissatisfaction. So that cannot be.
Well, I'm not queen of everything yet, so.
Thank you, Ben. Very helpful, very good.
Sure.
I'm sure now I'm back to Sandy Martin.
We're definitely diplomatic.
I think somebody was asking over Patty, do you know her address?
Okay, email address.
Oh, patty dot mouton mouton at alzoc.org. So Alpha Louise Zebra Oscar Charlie.
Okay, I think we have everything covered except for October, and I have an idea for October, so I think we're good.
That's my birthday, so you don't have a birthday celebration.
Oh, okay. Sure.
I just brought that up.
Didn't expect the cake and everything, too.
How many candles? I have a question. If I have what I think is a great idea for a presentation to this group, do I just bring it to you?
Yes.
Email either one of them. Okay. Email us both.
Perfect.
Do we have an updated roster with our emails?
Yes, we do.
And Charlene is back with us for the for the community arts for older adults.
Is that Charlene's?
Yes.
She was going to help. Okay.
Okay, I hate to say this, but now the time for anyone around the table announcing by Jack Bimber. Yes, okay, go right ahead.
Okay, so the city of Irvine on August 25th, Katie, are you listening? Is having a senior expo. And I'm seeing the other Katie is shaking the head, so many of you already know. And we expect 300 people to come through. So that's the date, the 25th of August.
Okay, Pauline, what do we need to get Ms. Rowe to the table here?
I'm sorry, get what?
Our.
I
don't care. No, I don't care.
No, oh. Back so. Here. At your next executive committee meeting, there is going to be an item on the agenda to approve the appointment of Ms. Rowe.
We're going to get you to the table here. Give it a minute. Okay, good. That's another hint. Yes.
I'd just like to say thank you for the flyer on the subscription.
Oh, yeah.
We got it on the
first page. Oh, nice.
It was on our email, which we're live, and on our website.
Excellent. Well done.
Okay, go around. Yeah, John first and Victor.
Sure. Go ahead, Victor. I'll say much or less.
I know what you're
saying. Yeah, I got a couple of things. Actually, a busy month for me, actually. So as I said, I engaged our management office with these goals and objectives, and they like what they saw. And so they're on board. Office is looking for greater things. If they have other ideas, I'll let them know. But at least I... you know, took the initiative to get the approval we have in place before we move forward. And I worked with the veterans housing development here that's located in Santa Ana. It specifically serves veterans, and it's called Heroes Landing. And during the allocation of these iPads, I had a discussion as to where these iPads were going to the office. And I was able to allocate. I found that I went back to this house and said, well, how many older Americans do you already have there living there? And they said about 60. So I went back to Sarmiento's office and I got 5 iPads allocated to them. So that was very helpful. On a more personal note, I got to see Neil Young on Tuesday. And he's 78 years old. That was kind of cool. I think, and I think, interesting enough, the venue is mostly primarily staffed by older Americans. There's And if you ever want to go to the Rady Shell, great venue, I think to make an opportunity, it's an incredible place. I thought it was the Sydney Opera House, quite frankly. And then I went to the Reagan Library to see the Holocaust exhibit. And I thought that was very moving and very informative. And so my life has been going, been pretty busy on both fun stuff, but also important things.
John?
Just a quick CFL update. The CSL applicant was recently completed. It identified approximately 50 bills that impact seniors that were taken on by legislators in February. In there were also CSL bills. Of the 7 that were picked up, 2 have survived. AB 559 is the funding of CSL. At CSL members, that's going to the governor's desk. Okay, so that's big. Very important to us. The other is Baldwin's SB, I think it's 657. So that has to do with training at the local level in the AAAs about homelessness. 20 proposals have been submitted in June, and we'll work our way through the vetting process, and hopefully we'll get picked up next year. Just a reminder, SB 411 for Tontine, that's the special Brown Act provision that Fortuntino has come up with for LA exclusively, something to watch. He's carved out basically saying, if you're a volunteer group with no legislative mission, you can meet in a non-in-person format. That's pretty poorly presented, but that's a rough demonstration of what it is. Right. It'll be interesting to see what that, if that makes its way through. Remember, Fortuntino, Senator Fortuntino is in charge of appropriation. He's just not a lightweight in this process. So somebody spoke to him in Los Angeles and got him behind this and carved out for LA exclusively. It'll be interesting to watch where that goes. Nothing else involving the Brown Act has made it through the legislature. The flip of that is SB 599, Laird, is stalled in the Senate right now. It hasn't gotten out of committee since May. And if you read the editorials, you've seen the Register and the Los Angeles Times comment about Bagley Dean and the Brown Act and legislation and how it's, you know, really cutting people off. I don't know if I buy that or not, but anyway, just an update on in regards to that. More to follow down the road. I'll try to keep you posted. That's all I have, Gene. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Joan, I got a question. Joan, why is it jail 8? I wonder if you found John, because that's
what
it looks like.
I think that my entire
you get called John. Okay. Any anything around the corner?
For the new member, welcome. Could you tell which subcommittee you chose?
Housing, transportation, and whatever that one on Monday is, I think it's engagement.
And Rose is going to, I mean,
Housing is transportation.
Okay, let's keep moving around. Yes, Elaine.
Okay, so as we've discussed in our last couple of meetings with the fentanyl awareness campaign for our older adults, to make sure they're not seeking other ways to kind of help out their budgets, but buying prescription, what they think are prescriptions from legitimate sources. And Pauline, thank you for the work on the flyer for sending that out. Now, as a reminder, since our senior center liaison structure is not in place at this point in time, all of you need to be getting that information out into your communities. I sent it to my city where they're putting it on all social media, to the senior center. I sent it to the our interfaith council in our city and any organization I belong to. And also I sent it to my doctor. I talked to him about it. I sent it to him and he's part of a pretty good practice and he'll be sending it out to the doctor too. So just be aware that it is all of our responsibility to get that word out. And it's just a matter of speaking to someone and or where then they can disseminate it to the seniors. So I do got it in the newspaper and passed it.
Okay. Anything else? Yes, please.
First, I'd like to thank Meredith and Pauline for working with me over the last couple of months. It's good to be back here with this really wonderful group. Secondly, Patty, if you are looking for someone to volunteer to assist you with your ad hoc committee, I would be interested in that.
Marvelous.
I know Pauline has sent out an email about ideas for future topics, and I don't have speakers, but I think older adults entering the workforce might be an interesting topic for the future. Another issue is oral health, which oral health really affects all of our health. So I think that might be a good topic. And we know that there are a lot of preventative tests that those who have resources and money and good healthcare can have access to. But there are new plaque scanning tests that cost at least $400 to $600 that could save lives that most of us can't afford. So those kinds of issues could be helpful. And finally, I'd like to let you know that in our city, we have a relationship with the Pacific Symphony.
Costa Mesa.
Yes, thank you. Costa Mesa. And we kicked off a Pacific Symphony on the go. They brought their symphony to our parking lot at the senior center. And so we had about 75 older adults attending, walking from the towers. And it was a wonderful, wonderful afternoon for them to engage in the arts.
Yes.
Awesome. Yeah, awesome.
All right. Actually, by the way,
take two of those.
You will, I'm sure.
Oral health, very good point. You know my philosophy. True to your key, there'll never be false beauty.
Oh.
Remember, I think that's what you're about.
Picking up on that oral health, I don't know if Dave Sullivan's still a member, but he did a presentation.
No, he is not.
Okay, they contacted me to the presentation. And lastly, do you realize the last day of the year can be 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3?
I have a couple of announcements, Dan. They're all really exciting, so forgive me. In Leisure World Seal Beach, the pilot care ecosystem is now starting to operate, and it's very exciting. And what I'll do is talk with Sandy and Barbara about having a speaker come in and really explain that, because it has some evidence base behind it. If anyone loves jazz, there is a special event that's part of the American Legion Auxiliary in Laguna Niguel, July 20th. At the Laguna Niguel Community Center. Tickets are $20. You'll have a great chili dinner and some great mocktails and an excellent jazz quartet. Starts at 5:30.
July 20th at 5:30.
Correct. And you can see Elaine or me if you want to get tickets.
Yeah.
Because I think that's going to be really fun.
Yeah.
Then on August the 3rd, Alzheimer's Orange County is holding a care conference at Christ Cathedral. It's non-denominational, but it's great meeting space. And we will have a nationally recognized speaker on caregiver issues, particularly those in dementia. That's $25, but you're going to get a really great lunch too, and a national speaker. August 5th is a dementia education series, and we'll have Dr. Trin as the speaker at Mount of Olives Church in Mission Viejo. That's free, starts at 8:30 in the morning. And I can send Pauline all these flyers if you like, if that's is that legal?
Okay.
August 25th is the research conference collaborative with UCI and Alzheimer's Orange County at the Irvine Hilton. And I can send out a flyer to Pauline. November 1st, inside Laguna Woods Village, please mark your calendars because this is going to be really good. We will have a screening of the film Endgame, which deals with very serious end-of-life issues. It's life in the ICU. And we will have a panel of expert physicians talking about end-of-life issues on all sides of the perspective. So mark your calendars for November 1. It'll be in the evening. There'll be a lovely dinner served. It is inside the village, so in order to attend, you'll have to RSVP and we'll have to get you a pass. And that's it. Thank you.
All right. We have never heard anything. No. Life is good.
Serendipity. I just brought this copy of the New Yorker Endgame.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a harrowing story about the visionary hospice movement becoming a for-profit hospice.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we actually
wanted
to share
what
we have
in
California.
All right, August 11th, 9:30 a.m. They're now
adjourned.